As long as this ummah will make the masjid abad, as long as this ummah will give its life for the masjid, as long as this ummah will attach itself to the masjid, Allah's help will be with us.
The voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today is the 14th of Shawwal, 1442, corresponding to the date 27th May 2021. And we will be discussing a very specific topic, and that is Aqiqah, with our Honorable Mufti Saab, who is currently on a dawah trip with the King, Queen and Prince, currently spending time with the Prince in East London. Then tonight, inshallah, he will be with the King in King Williamstown, and tomorrow in Port Elizabeth. Let's welcome our Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum ala Zaid Khan. Alhamdulillah. We welcome all the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Alhamdulillah, we are here in Queenstown, and now the weather is just clearing up. It was overcast. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We start today's program on three very, very sad information and news. Number one, in Durban, in Mirbank, to be specific, few months ago, this youngster met up in an accident and he was in a coma for 3 years. And now he passed away. Our brother Huzaifa Ahmed, Qurpas 10, was his Salatul Janaza. Allah Jalla Wala grant him our brother Huzaifa Ahmed Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. Allah Jalla Wala grant his family Sabri Jameel. I went to visit him in my last trip, I think it was to Durban. And Allah makes very easy for all the family. Amen. Second one, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We find one of our students who was studying at Darulum Newcastle in the 70s, and he was Sheikh Musa Titus Day in Primrose Park, Cape Town. So he passed away. Allah grant him also Jannatul Firdaus. And the third information we got again, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When my 20 years day in Newcastle, the doctor I was very, very close to, Dr. Zakaria Ashraf, he passed away several years ago. So we find that his wife, children, and them live in that house. And we just received information this morning that their house completely burnt down. Allah alone knows what was the cause and the reason. So make dua for Auntie Salma and the family and all of them. Allah Jalla wa'ala make it easy for them. Allah Jalla wa'ala make easy for the whole entire family and the ummah and Muslimah. So always read Surah 12, verse 64, and that is, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. That Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala is the best protector, and He Almighty Allah is the most merciful one to show mercy. And for all our deceased, read Surah 14, verse 41, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers, the day the reckoning is established. May Almighty Allah grant all of them Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la, who passed away with Iman and Islam, and those who are ill and sick at home or hospitals or clinics, Allah Jalla wa'ala grant all of them Shifa'i Kamil.
Ameen, ameen. This up. On the other hand, today we have a very positive topic, which is birth, and that's the beauty of deen. Some pass away and some are being born. So today we are discussing the topic of Aqiqah, and we welcome all the listeners, and they can send their queries to the number 084-786-3132. And if you're in a foreign country, it will be +27847863132. Mufti Saab, let's begin this program. We just want to discuss pre-Aqiqah, that when a woman is pregnant, what du'as should she recite?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The nikah took place. Abdullah got married to Amatullah. The male slave married the female slave, and we made dua. Barakallahu lak wa barakallahu alayk wa jama'a baynakuma fil khair. The hadith is authentic, mentioned in Abu Dawood, and it tells us that Ya Allah, grant this married couple barakah, blessings from all corners and all sides. Keep them together Ya Allah Jalla wa through your mercy in khair and goodness. Thereafter now, we will always advise them that when they are married, even before marriage, during marriage, and after they are married 10, 20, 40, 50 years also, they should always read Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. O beloved Allah, grant us our spouses and such offspring and children that the coolness of the eyes. Then after 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, whatever the case might be, lo and behold, the news came that now she has conceived and she's pregnant, mashallah. Now what should they read? Both of them, the husband and the wife. So both of them should read the following du'as, all from the Quran Sharif, chapter number 37. You know Surah Yasin is chapter 36, so this is chapter 37, Surah Su'afat, and verse 100. Whose dua? A Nabi's dua. Nabi Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam read, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh beloved Allah, grant me pious children, pious offspring. So one meaning of salihin will be that pious it must be. Second meaning will be that is Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Chapter 37, verse 100. Meaning, Ya Allah, grant me normal children. There must be no abnormalities. There must be no, you know, physical defects and so forth and so on. So that is the miracle of the Quran Sharif. It encompasses all the nuances and different shades and different interpretations and meanings and so forth. So read that dua abundantly. Surah 37, verse 100. That's one dua. Second dua, also of a Nabi. And which Nabi? Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. Surah chapter 3, Surah Ali Imran, verse 38. Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. Innaka sami'u du'a. Oh, Almighty Allah, grant me such offspring that are tayyibah. They are pure, they are chaste, they are good, and they are pure and wholesome. Meaning, they don't get involved in fornication, adultery. They don't get involved in gay brigade and all these, you know, obscene, indecent, haram, unlawful activities. Innaka sami'u du'a. Oh, Almighty Allah, you are the one who listens to the du'a. Chapter Surah 3, verse 38. We are discussing about Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam's dua. Today, when this ummah is going through so many trials and tribulations and difficulties in all parts, so remember, we should take a lesson and a cue. And from chapter 19, Surah Maryam, right in the beginning, how to make dua. Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam is old and he says, وَأَنَا الْأَذْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَأَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. Ya Allah, my bones are gone brittle. Ya Allah, and weak, and my hair is gone grayish and whitish, Ya Allah. At this old age, I am petitioning you, beseeching you, begging you, Ya Allah, grant me a son. And lo and behold, Allah accepted the dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. He had two wives, Sayyida Hajra radiallahu anha, gave birth to Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, the first child and first son. And then from Sayyida Sara radiallahu anha, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam. Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam, crying, begging, petitioning Almighty Allah. Allah accepts his dua. And thereafter, she gives birth. And that is Alisha, his wife, to Nabi Yahya alayhi salam. They call John the Baptist. We just say Yahya alayhi salam. up. So that is the du'as we must read. Then third one, you made it 5, 10, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, nothing happening. Then again, you go back to Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam's du'a. Chapter 21, verse 89. Chapter 21, verse 89. رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدَى وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Oh, my beloved Allah, don't leave me alone. You are the best one to grant heirs. Give me an heir. Not for money, not for assets and worldly things. So the mission and the message of the Prophet and Deenul Islam can continue. So Anbiya alayhimus salam, they don't aim low. Their aim objective is sublime and lofty. So that is what the du'as are. Thereafter, in Surah 71, chapter 71, verses 9, 10, 11, you see, Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, Noah and the Ark, Nuh and Safina. So he, Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, is telling his people, Istaghfiru Rabbakum innahu kana ghaffara. Oh people, make istighfar. Say, Astaghfirullah, 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 Rabbi min kulli dhammin wa atubu ilay. Ya Allah, I seek your forgiveness. Ya Allah, I repent. Istighfar is for the past. I seek your forgiveness, Ya Allah. We are ordinary mortals. We are sinners. We commit so many vices and sin. So Almighty Allah alone makes Sattar recover. He's Ghaffar. He forgives us. Wa atubu ilay tawbah is for the future. Ya Allah, do not let me relapse. So I was telling you the du'as of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. So you must read chapter 37, verse 100. Chapter 3, verse 38, chapter 21, verse 89, and istighfar. Allah Jalla wa'ala states, He will bless you with very good pious children, inshallah. Gee, let's carry on.
Mufti Saab, closer to labor, are there du'as to be recited to ease the pains?
Remember that when a lady is now 6 months, 7, 8 months, 9 months, then she should try and read Surah 21, verse 30, and that is Awalam yaral ladina kafaru anna samawati wal arda kanata ratqa. That in that case, that the people should wonder, ponder, especially the non-Muslims, how Almighty Allah created the cosmos, the universe, the entire creation. The heavens and the earth were stuck together. كَانَتَا رَتْقَ فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. And then we separated it. So that is Almighty Allah teaching us how the fetus, the unborn baby and the mother are stuck together. Then inshallah the labor pains all will become easy for her. Surah chapter 21, Surah Anbiya, the messengers, verse number 33. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيْءٍ. Everything that is living and in existence today, remember the element of water is always included.
Mufti Saab, a keen listener and a seeker of knowledge asks, and she says that I fear labor pain, and that is because in Surah Maryam, verse 23, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the labor pains of Maryam alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought her to a trunk of a palm tree, and thereafter she said, oh, that I would have died before this and been something gone and forgotten. So the listener wants to know, is this referring to the labor pains?
No. You're mixing things up. Sayyidah Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, her honorable name is mentioned 34 times in the noble Quran. And remember that Sayyidah Maryam's honorable name is mentioned 34 times. The meaning of Maryam is Abida, the worshipper of Almighty Allah. And chapter 19 is Surah Maryam. So why did she say all this? فَأَجَاءَهَلْ This is the verses you're referring to. فَأَجَاءَهَلْ مَخَادُ إِلَىٰ جِزْءِ النَّخْلَىٰ And then he said, in French, he said, يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ نَسْيَمْ مَنْسِيَىٰ She did not, no strange man ever touched her. So Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam's Milad Mubarak, honorable birth is going to take place. And it is a miraculous birth because no male, strange male has touched her. The Christians, some of them, not all, some of them, they say, Yusuf Najjar was married to her, Joseph the carpenter, all that we reject, and it is blasphemous to say so. So therefore, she said, Kuntu Nasyam Mansiya, that how I wish that I was non-existent and everything was finished and gone. Because what will people say? That they will say, how come the baby is born and you're not married and so forth. So that's why she said, not because of the labor pain. The labor pain is natural in a lady, so we must not confuse issues here. And therefore, we should read Surah Maryam and we understand. Look at, I give you an example. In our continent, Africa, Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala read Surah Maryam chapter 19. To people who are not Muslim, Najashi and them who gave asylum, who gave protection to the Sahaba, and he, Najashi, Negus and them, was so impressed. Chapter 5, verse number 83, the beginning of the seventh juz, the seventh part of the noble Quran. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْ. When they heard what was revealed to the Master, alayhi salam, Surah Maryam, and the rank and status of Sayyidah Maryam, Nabi Isa, alayhi salam, even today, we challenge any Christian who can remove his or her blinkers and can remove their biasness and prejudiceness. Read the Quran Sharif regarding Nabi Isa, alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, and Sayyidah Maryam, radiallahu anha, Mary, the Virgin Maryam al-Azra, and read the Bible and see which one gives more respect, honor to these great personalities. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَدْآيَتَيْنِ. Allah made both of them symbols and signs, so we must remember that. So therefore she said, how I wish, because she was fearing so much criticism from the people, but Almighty Allah blessed her even more and more.
Mufti Saab, let's get to post-birth now. So when the baby comes out, what should be done exactly?
When the baby is born, mashallah, it's a happy, happy occasion. The mother forgets the labor pain. She takes that baby. It is part of her, her flesh and the blood and everything. She will kiss and all that. You know all that. Maulana, mashallah, you have children and so forth. So that is the system of all, mashallah, jalla wa ala. So what should we do? The day, yawm al-milad, the day the baby is born. So obviously you get the baby washed, bathed and cleaned up and everything. Thereafter you give azan, azan in the right ear. Now this azan is not like the azan you give for salat. You know, just now, 12:30, 1 o'clock, everywhere, yeah, there will be azan rendered for Zuhr Salat and so forth. So what do I mean? That azan is given loudly over the microphone and so forth, or where there's no mics and, you know, oh, so still it's given loudly so the people can hear in the masjid and just outside in the veranda and so. When you give azan in the baby's ear, you don't insert your fingers in your own ears. Because why we do that? To raise our voice. Yeah, you'll render the adhan, so the first thing the baby hears is the greatness, the majesty, authority, sovereignty of Almighty Allah. But you don't insert your fingers in your ears. You can hold the baby and just render the adhan. In the left ear, you give the iqama, so that will be qadqamati salah, qadqamati salah. And thereafter, there will be tahniq. Tahniq is from hanaka, hanaka. What does it mean? If you open your mouth and put your finger inside, on top there's a pellet. So you take dates, you must remember, and you chew it, soften it, and slowly, slowly you insert the dates into the baby's mouth. So subhanallah, first is Almighty Allah's name, adhan and iqama, and then is the dates and so forth. All this is sunnah on the first day, and then you can make dua and so forth. When we look at incidents, let me give you two, three important incidents. This is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. أَوَّلُ مَوْلُودٍ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ بَعْدَ الْهِجْرَةِ. The first baby to be born after the migration to Medina Munawwara. So this is Abdullah bin Zubair. His parents, Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam from Ashra Mubashara. So he was one of the great, great Sahaba. And his wife, Sayyida Asma bint Abi Bakr. Sayyida Asma, the sister of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. And she's the daughter of Sayyida Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha. So the people were wondering now, 1 year has passed and no baby, no child is born to the Muhajireen. who came from Makkah, and that lo and behold, then after 1 year, remember, we find that they became proud parents. That is Zubayr bin Awam and Sayyida Asma radiallahu anha. Abdullah is born. So from here we learn the sunnah is to keep the name on the seventh day. But if you give the name to the baby the day the baby is born, so that is bajais and permissible. Then he was taken, Abdullah the baby, radiallahu an, Abdullah bin Zubair, to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the first thing, subhanallah, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his busak mubarak, his saliva mubarak, and inserted it in the mouth of Abdullah bin Zubair. So subhanallah, these are honorable, great, great sahaba and beloved companions and students of the Master alayhi salam. Imagine the first thing to enter was the Mubarak blessed saliva of the Master alayhi salam. Then the dates and all that, it was chewed and then entered into his mouth and so forth. So it shows that you can do all that also. So that is one. He, Hasan Basri rahimahullah, he was born in Madinah Munawwara. And it is the last 2 years of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's Khilafat. He passed away in the ending of the year 23. On the 1st of Muharram 24, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu became the Khalifa of this Ummah and the Amirul Mu'mineen. So we're speaking about now the year 21. He, Sayyidina Hassan, when he was 14 years old, then his mother and them, they moved to Basra and Iraq and so forth. Cut long story short, so now they brought him, the day of his milad, to who? To Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And then he took the baby, he chewed the dates, inserted it in the baby's mouth. Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu arda. Which dua did he read? When people give me dates, all that, say they want bachche ke liye for their son, daughter, or so I read the same dua. Allahumma faqqihu fid deen. Ya Allah, grant his baby Hasan Basri the faqqih fid deen. He must have profound knowledge of deen and must understand the greater message of deen. Wa habibhu ila nas. And Ya Allah, make him beloved to the people. When I was in Iraq in 2000, subhanallah, a kutib, a booklet was there on sale, so I bought it. Al-Imam al-Hasan al-Basri al-Wa'iz al-Bakkah. So what a great book. If you read the stories of Sayyidina Hasan Basri, rahimahullah, how he would deliver his lectures and discourses, how the people would be repenting and making tawbah and crying and so forth. So these were the giants, and we should take lesson from that. Now we have to bring it in today's day and age. That is fiqh, the tatbiq, the practical implementation. Now, Maulana Zahid Khan, you know that sometimes the wife is pregnant, she's in hospital, clinic, she's giving birth, but they're not even allowing the husband to come there. So you must remember the baby got jaundice and he got this. So what happens in a case like that? They only allow him after 3 days, 7 days, 10 days. So you, the wife, you, the mother of that baby, you give the adhan. Because I just told you just now, you must remember that it's not compulsory or something that you must raise your voice. So if there's nobody else, then you, the mother, give the adhan in the right ear, give the iqama in the left ear, take the date and so forth. The husband can give it to the nurse or something, and then they will bring it to the mother, and mashallah, so she makes the tahniq for the baby. We should not procrastinate and defer and delay this. Every sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for us as true Muslims is khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha, is better than this whole world and whatever it contains. That you don't just say, no, it's a sunnah. Nay, Quran Kareem, Surah chapter 3, verse 31. Now you need to understand some philology and history here. In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah, if you really love Almighty Allah Jalla wala, fattabi'uni, follow me, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immaculately. Today in the translations, most of them, they just say, follow me, imitate me. That's incomplete. Because philology has to come in here. You have a cow, the Baqarah. When she gives birth to the tabi or tabi'a, the calf, male or female or whatever you, so you must remember that that calf, that tabi, follows the mother in every aspect of life. So we have to emulate, imitate, follow Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam immaculately. So when you carry out the adhan, the iqama, the tahniq, the day the baby is born, two things will happen. Quran says, chapter 3, verse 31, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. You become the beloved of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and your sins will be forgiven. To see what a win-win situation it is.
Mufti Saab, a female says that the first thing to be done should be the wudu, the adhan, as Mufti Saab said. But then she says that at times the pediatrician and the nurses would take the baby before we can even have access to the baby.
Yes, they take them for a bath and all. This is no problem. Quran Kareem teaches us, Surah 2, verse 286, you must remember, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah has not burdened any person more than his or her ability. You must make the intention, you must plan everything. Then certain things happen, emergency or something beyond your control. So that is forgiven and is beyond your control. But from start, we should beg Allah that everything goes smooth, and then you will implement the sunnah as we are taught by the Master alayhi salatu wasalam.
Mufti Saab, as we know, there are a lot of new Muslims listening, and we all want to know that what's the meaning of aqiqah.
So you must remember that aqiqah, first of all, let's turn the argument, let's turn the discussion the other way around. So today is Thursday, 14th of Shawwal. There's another point also. When your baby is born, then write down the time. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah was born on 13th Shawwal, and it was 194. Ba'da Salatil Jumu'ah. Where's 194 and where are we now? 1442. But in those days already the parents had the common sense. You know, today is not so common. You must remember that. So they will know the Gregorian date. But you ask your parents, ask yourself, when were you born? I know when I was born in Ramadan and I got the date and everything. So every one of us, write down the time your baby is born, write down the day, write down, you must, the Islamic date, all that you should be doing, remember that. So today the baby is born, then you work out the 7 days. So the 7th day will be on the next week, Wednesday. The baby is born Sunday, then Saturday is the 7th day. Baby is born on a Friday, then remember that Thursday is the 7th day, like that. So on the 7th day, there are many, many issues and many things to be done. So I just showed you how to calculate the 7th day. Now, one of the things you should do on the 7th day is the aqiqah. So that is how I gave you now in sequence. So what is the meaning of aqiqah? If you look at the ahadith, and that you will find, uququl walidain, uquq aqqa. Aqqa means, ay wa aqqa walidahu, wa aqqa ummahu. That when a person severs ties with his father, with his mother, when he cuts off ties and so forth. So aqiqah. So we are going to sacrifice the animal, cut the animal, meaning cut the veins and slaughter the veins and all these type of things. So obviously to sever ties with parents and family, all that is totally haram. And such people are cursed by Almighty Allah. Surah chapter 47, verses 22 and 23. Today they got big degrees and they're flying. وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ. You have power, you have authority, you cause mischief, mayhem, chaos on this earth, and you sever the family ties. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. Allah curses them, and they're spiritually deaf and spiritually blind. Chapter Surah 47, Surah Muhammad, named after the Master Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and verses 22, 23. So if it's a baby boy, then we slaughter 2 goats or 2 sheep. If it's a baby girl, then we slaughter 1 goat or 1 sheep on the 7th day. So that is how we implement the meaning of aqiqah, to cut, to slaughter, to sever the veins and so forth. So that is the meaning of it.
Mufti Saab, what's the ruling of aqiqah?
Remember, Aqiqah is Sunnah. So if a person does it, he will be rewarded abundantly, and the wisdom and the rationale behind it is this. It's a joyous, happy, momentous occasion for the parents, for the family. Another bundle of joy has come to the family and so forth. So when we slaughter the goats, the sheep and so forth, whatever it is, two goats or two sheep for the baby boy, one goat or one sheep for the baby girl, Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, open Mishkan Sharif, there's a whole chapter on Aqiqah, and open Mustafa Ahmad and so forth. Amidu anhul aza, that any impending harm, any bad thing supposed to come to the masoom baby child, inshallah, with the barakah of this Aqiqah, then it will be diverted and averted and so forth. So therefore, it's a win-win situation. But it's sunnah, you can't say it's farz or wajib or compulsory, because Islam is a religion and a code of life for all times, all places, all circumstances. You see now, with corona, with COVID-19, with a pandemic, plandemic, call it whatever you want to, but you can see millions and millions of people have lost their job, they are unemployed, barely just by eating a square meal and so forth and so on. So in a case like that, what will we do? So you must remember, we will say that it is sunnah. But if you can't afford it, then inshallah, make the intention. The day you can afford it, then you will undertake it and you will fulfill this year. So don't undermine it. Don't say, no, it's sunnah, leave it. No. Say, the day I have the means, then I will fulfill this great sunnah as well. Shukran lillahi ta'ala. To thank Almighty Allah Jalla wala that He's blessed me with this wonderful, beautiful baby girl or handsome son and so forth.
Mufti Sahib, can Mufti Sahib please mention a few virtues of Aqiqah?
So you must remember, number one, it is shukran lillahi azza wa jal. Number two, that it is to inform the public. You must remember that we have become parents and so forth. Otherwise, people will say, from where does baby came? And so forth and so on. You know, today people can make wild allegations and accusations and so forth, that the baby is haram baby, illegitimate and so forth, and, you know, a bee and so Allah forbid. So Islam brought about this system that this is a happy occasion. So you thank Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and it will help the baby also. So it is a win-win situation.
Mufti Sahib, is there a time limit for Aqiqah? And like Mufti Sahib mentioned how to calculate the 7 days, but what if time has lapsed, then how do you calculate that 7 days?
Remember that there is a time limit according to the Shafi'is and Hanbalis and them. Meaning that when you, or parents, your baby is born, you have become parents and so forth. So preferably, sunnah, you do it on the 7th day. Today, the baby is born Thursday, so before Maghrib. So then Wednesday will be the 7th day. If the baby is born tonight, so that is already Jumu'ah, Friday, then next week, Thursday is the 7th day. That is how you calculate. Now, what is the cutoff time? According to Shafi'is and them, they say Bulugh. Once the child obtains the age of puberty, maturity, so in a case like that, then there is no la aqiqata ba'd al-bulugh. So after the age of puberty and after the age of maturity, then there is no aqiqah. That is according to Shafi'is and them. According to Hanafis, I'm now in my mid-60s and so forth. Another person is 20s, 40s, you 30, whatever. So you must remember in a case like that, now that person realizes his or her aqiqah was not done because the parents were poor or they were ignorant or just laziness or whatever the reason was. So even at this late age where he is married or single, 20, 30, 40, so he can still make the aqiqah according to the Hanafi school. So we should be clear on that issue as well. Now the good question you pose, Muazahid, is this. Let's just take today's example. 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, there somebody's wife gave birth. So we will suggest to them and tell them that next week, Wednesday, that seeing that you got a boy, so two goats or two sheep, or you got a baby girl, one goat or one sheep. But for some reason, they didn't do it. They didn't. So then, any other Wednesday after that, they can do so. And if they don't come right on a Wednesday, then any other day also will be permissible. But is there a cut off? Yes, according to Shafis and them, and that is at the age of puberty. And Hanafis say there is no cut of age until death. Yes, now we go to another issue. If that person passed away, my father, my brother, my brothers, Allah give all of them Jannatul Firdaus and the whole Ummah. So now you want to make Aqiqah. You want to make Aqiqah for your son, your daughter who passed away. So they passed away after 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 6 days, months, or whatever the case. So can you make Aqiqah lil Amwat for the dead? Then this ijma and this consensus, there is no Aqiqah for the dead. So you, my mother, my sister, you carried, you went the full term, you went 9 months, and lo and behold, when you gave birth to a stillborn baby. So then there's no Aqiqah. You understood that? So Aqiqah is only exclusively for the babies, then the children and infants who are alive, not for stillborn and dead. So similarly, after the baby, the child, or the person passes away, then there is no Aqiqah. And therefore, we were speaking of du'as and so forth. I didn't mention this. You should write it down. Make a note of it. You, my sister, Fatima, Zainab, Jamila, Aisha, whatever, Amatullah. So you are expecting, but you also fear that you might have a miscarriage and so forth and so on. So you know Surah Yusuf is chapter 12. So read chapter 13, Surah Ra'd. And that is the thunder. Surah Ra'd, chapter 13, verse number 8. Allahu ya'alamu ma tahmilu kullu unsa, wa ma taghidu al-arhamu, wa ma tazdad, wa kullu shay'in indahu bimiqdar. Only Almighty Allah knows everything that is in the womb of the mother. Which doctor, which gynecologist, which scientist professor can tell you how many hair there are and everything inside the baby? Who can? Nobody can tell you. All the contractions, expansions taking place, only Allah knows. And everything will happen on the designated appointed time. Look at the glory, the beauty, the style, the diction of the Noble Quran, the balagha, the rhetoric of it. So such a profound message, and in one verse Allah mentions it. To read that, you must remember. So remember that you should try and do the Aqiqah as soon as possible after the seventh day. And as long as you can afford it, then try and fulfill it immediately. Allah give to.
We return back to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'ah. And Mufti Saab, we have a few questions here. The first is from the woman on behalf of the woman folk. They're asking, why is it 2 sheep for boys and 1 for girls?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What we will do, because I see time is moving on, so I discussed, you must remember, Yawm al-Milad, the day of the birth of the baby. Now is the seventh day. So it means that last week, Friday, that lady gave birth, and today is Thursday, is the seventh day. So what must we do on the seventh day? And in that, I'll answer all these questions that are posed and outstanding. So any sequence you can go. So for example, you do the Aqiqah, slaughter the goat, the sheep, you understand, 2 goats or 2 sheep for the baby boy, 1 goat or 1 sheep for the baby girl. So that is also sunnah on the seventh day. Thereafter, you must remember, you shave the hair, not cut the hair, you shave the hair, remove all the hair of the boy, baby boy or baby girl. And after you have shaved all the hair and so forth, then remember a sunnah, which is the ummah wa nasu anha ghafilun. 90% of the ummah is unaware or they neglectful of it. In the pre-Islamic days, the days of Jahiliyyah, what the people would do, they would slaughter the animal, then take the blood of the animal and apply it on the head of the baby. Islam abolished and demolished that, the hadith in Abu Dawood. So Islam said, take zafran, take saffron. You can mix it with a little bit of water, and then you apply it on the head of the baby after you shave the hair. So that is a sunnah, and today people are neglectful of it. Then third one, you choose a wonderful name, beautiful name, Ahabbul Asma, ilallah, Abdullah wa Abdurrahman. So hadith in Tirmidhi, the best name for the baby is the boy's name, Abdullah Abdurrahman. For the baby girl, Amatullah, Amatulrahman. So it means the slave, the servant of Almighty Allah. People send me big list of names. So I always tell them one standard answer. 25 prophets and messengers' names are mentioned in a noble Quran. Take anyone from there. Was Zakariya, wa Yahya, wa Isa, wa Ilyas, like that. And anyone is perfect. And second one, the daughters, women, daughters, baby girl, Mustafa, sallallahu alaihi wasallam's honorable wives, Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beloved daughters. So all that, you got 15 names there, you can choose from there, inshallah, 14, 15 names. So in that way there, it will make life easy for you. And then any sequence, and thereafter you give out some charity, you give it out to any poor person, Muslim, non-Muslim, and the member giving any amount and so forth. So all that is sunnah as well. So, and then you make dua bil barakah, Allah Ta'ala make the child develop, grow up, protect from sicknesses, make an asset for the deen, for the dunya, for the people and masses. So a lot of things you can do. Now the baby is born, you parents, you should be, whether your baby is 1 day old, 1 month, 1 year, 5 years, 20 years, always read, O parents, grandparents, Surah chapter 46, verse 15:15. Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati, O Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, that bring about reform, piety, goodness in my children and progeny. Okay, Maulana, to come to your experience and so forth. So, mashallah, that on the CD or you were reading or whatever, Surah Maryam, and then the Jewish lady, the nurse said, you must send it to her. So it's very good. You read Surah Maryam, you read Surah Yusuf, all that is permissible. But we must keep everything in their proper perspective. And you don't go say it is sunnah. You will say it is permissible. So that is what you want the baby boy, you read Surah Yusuf. You read, you want the baby girl, you read Surah Maryam. But you won't go say it is sunnah. We will just say it is permissible. And Quran, every verse of it, Quran says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَى. Now let me give you the question that the lady asked. Now just make, I speak myself the example. So we are married now, 1 year, 2 years, for example. My wife gave birth, you must remember, to twins, example. Where I am staying, we've got our studios now. So mashallah, they were twins, they were one boy, one girl. That Tahira and Talha. So they used to come upstairs there by our house. Say, Assalamu alaikum, Nani. How are you, Nani? You know, they know they're going to get sweets, you know. So mashallah, so cute they were. Now they grew up, they meet me even now. So Talha and Tahira, mashallah, they were. Allah Ta'ala give them long life, good health. So what happens in a case? So for Talha, the boy is my son, for example. So I will slaughter two goats or two sheep. And remember, the daughter will slaughter one goat, one sheep. So why? If you ask the non-Muslims, they say, see, Islam is chauvinistic and it's not fair. And so, no, you're simple, Simon. That son, normally, he will stay by me. He will come into my farm, into my shop, into my town, into my business. He will stay there. The daughter, when she reaches 17, 18, 20, 25, she goes away. And her janaza and everything also will come out from her family, from where she's married in. So therefore, Islam took all that into consideration, and Islam says that you must remember that the ni'mat of the boy is that he will be there with you. The girl is a greater ni'mat, because Almighty Allah teaches us in Surah 42, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ ذُكُورًا. Allah Ta'ala mentioned daughters first. But remember, they won't stay with you so long. So after 17, 18, 20, 25, they're gone. So therefore, Islam said there are two for the boy and one for the girl. And you must remember regarding the meat and all these type of issues, let me explained that as well. So according to Hanafis, the Aqiqah meat should be divided into three parts. It's not compulsory, but better. One third for yourself, one third for your family, friends, one third for the poor. Hanafi ulama scholars say, you can give the Aqiqah meat to non-Muslims also. You got your maid and so forth working for you, or your neighbors, you give them permissible. Shafi'is, Ambalis and them, they say no. That you make three parts all very good. That is, you keep one for you. You can eat from the Aqiqah meat. Second one, you must remember that you give your family, friends, and then you give the poor and so forth. But they say, the Shafis and them, that you can't give Qurbani meat. You can't give Aqiqah meat to non-Muslims. Just now, today is already much Shawwal. So just now will be in 2 months' time, less than 2 months now, will be Eid al-Adha. So Qurbani time, you can't give the meat to non-Muslims according to Shafis and them. Hanafis say it's permissible. So same law applies in Aqiqah as well. Hanafis say you can give to non-Muslims and Muslims obviously. But the Shafis say the recipient of the Aqiqah meat must be Muslim only. Thereafter, the Shafi'is got one nice juzi. Juzi means one nice masla, you know. They say, the Shafi'is and them, they emphasize this point. They say that when you now slaughtered the Aqiqah animal, the goat, the sheep, and so forth, then you should not make it into small, small pieces like mincemeat and all that. You must leave it in big, big chunks. You should leave it in big, big, you understand, portions. So what is the reason? In Islamic terminology, we call this tafa'ul. Tafa'ul means to take good omen. We don't believe in bad luck and bad omens, but we accept good omens, good sign. Ya Allah, Jalla wa Ala, you blessed us with this handsome son. You blessed us with a beautiful daughter. Ya Allah, never show us the day when this handsome son, beautiful daughter of mine is involved in an accident or some mishap and what, and the body is in parts and pieces, hands here, feet there, and so forth. So therefore, it is mustahab, desirable, meritorious that the Aqiqah animal, you keep it in big, big chunks and big, big portions, not small, small, tiny, tiny. So Hanafi, they don't speak too much about this. You'll find this mostly in the Shafi'i books and all that. So it is mustahab, desirable, but it was an important point that see the fuqaha, the jurors, how far they were thinking and so forth and so on. Another point regarding Aqiqah and so forth is this, that you must not go and just tell the butcher, you do it and finish and client. We must be part and parcel of it. So take some portion for yourself, slaughter it yourself and all that if you can. Today we live in a world, there's rat race. You know, everything just tell somebody else to do. So it will be permissible, but best is you bring the animal home, you slaughter it and so forth, and then you want to disturb beauty, and so that will be the best to do.
Mufti Saab, the next question is, Abdullah, he has the financial means currently, but he wants to save this money for the wajib qurbani during Eid al-Adha instead of doing an akikah for his newborn currently. What's the ruling, Mufti Saab?
So, mashallah, you can delay it and then you buy. You must remember that a cow, or you buy a camel or whatever, if you are like in the Arab countries, or you buy the extra goat, the extra sheep, and so forth and so on. So, remember, for example, just say a cow. So, then if you got a daughter and you have to buy now one share in the cow, or a son, then two shares in the cow, and then another share for your udhiyah, for your qurbani. So, all that is permissible and so forth. So now you need to understand ma hukmul udhiya. What is the ruling of qurbani and so forth? Hanafi say is wajib. For me, wajib. For my wife, wajib. Compulsory like that. But remember, according to the Shafis and them, it is sunnati muakkada ala kifaya in the whole town. Say, for example, I'm now in Queenstown. So 4, 5, 10 people do it. Everybody else is absolved. They don't have to do it. So it's, so therefore, we will tell you, rather do your aqiqah. And remember, Allah Ta'ala who gave you the means, Allah will give you more barakah. Qurbani time again, you will get the money in inshallah. So don't always work with shaitani waswasa, the whisperings of shaitan. Ash-shaytanu yahidukum al-faqra wa ya'murukum bil-fahsha. Shaitan will always promise you poverty and then you will use the money in haram things. Wallahu yahidukum maghfiratan minhu wa fadla. Almighty Allah promises you forgiveness and Allah says, I'll give you more and more and more. That is the meaning of fadla. So my advice, do the aqiqah and inshallah before qurbani comes, again you'll have enough money to do so.
Mufti Saab, an adult says, in those days knowledge of deen was not easily accessible as now. And he says, I'm doubting if my parents did aqiqah for me. And I am a very mischievous person. Should I still do it now on behalf of myself?
Yes, yes, do it. You must remember that. So Hanafis, even if you're 30, 40, 60, 70 years old, you're not sure whether your parents did it or not. Maybe parents have passed away and so forth. So you are spending so much money on so many other things. So go and slaughter two goats or two sheep because you're a male or you're a female. So get, inshallah, one goat or one sheep slaughtered. And if it is was not done, then at least your aqiqah is done. If it was done, then this is voluntary. You will still get reward for it. So my advice, very good, you should do it. Remember, don't procrastinate, don't delay, go and do it immediately, inshallah.
Mufti Saab, a person says, I had a sheep for aqiqah and the sheep was kept by my house till the seventh, for the 7 days. But before that, it was, the sheep was going out of hand and it was destroying our plants and we were scared. We feared that it would get injured. Therefore, we slaughtered it on the fifth day. I just want to know if I did the right thing, Mufti Saab.
Yes, yes, 100%. On the seventh day is sunnah. You slaughter it any time before that, after that, the aqiqah is valid. There's no problem with that. So you brought a wild sheep, like, you know. So it's going to destroy your gardens and your plants and that. So you said, let me rather make Bismillah Allah Akbar. So perfect. No problem. Totally acceptable.
A listener wants to know if we can come to Mufti Saab for tahniq.
I'm sitting here in Queenstown. You are going to come here. So unless you come with the Concorde Airlines and this type of thing, Concorde also died. You must remember that. So we visited the Prince. It was now East London. And today we were here. Then we're going to go for Zohar just now, lunch, and then as with Dr. Magda's place, Allah reward him and his family. They went out of their way. Allah reward them. They in East London, another doctor. And then tonight, another doctor, Dr. Limbada. So all the doctors here in the Golden Triangle. The Prince, the Queen, and the King. And thereafter, tomorrow, after the Fajr prayer, and then Salat, then Nashta, then Rasta. So that will be breakfast, and then we're going to PE, inshallah. So yes, I'm here. So what you have to do? Just go by your Maulvi Sahib there, whoever is there, but Maulana, he'll do the tahniq and so forth. So where are you going to come and all wait for me and all that? You must remember, they're more pious and everything. So inshallah, you can do yourself also. Don't worry about it.
Mufti Saab, the last question before 12 o'clock. Faisal calculated due to being a C-section that the Caesar will be done few days before Eid al-Adha. And he wants to know, and he says with humor, I know I'm being an Indian, but what can I do? So he says, can I slaughter one sheep that will suffice for Qurbani and Aqiqah if it's on the same time?
According to the Shafis and them, it will suffice. According to Hanafis, it won't suffice. For Hanafis, you have to do both totally separately. So one, you're going to execute. So they already told you the gender of the baby. It will be a baby girl. And thereafter, you must remember it's Qurbani. So you say you want to slaughter one goat or one sheep. And that will suffice for both. Yes, it will be, according to Shafis, Malikis, and them. But Hanafis, remember, that's not permissible. You have to slaughter two separately. Remember that.
Okay, Jazakumullah, Mufti Saab, time is up, and Brother Yusuf Ali is ready for the news. Jazakumullah, Mufti Saab, for this beneficial lesson, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring you safely and make your journey inspiring to all.
Inshallah, Jazakallah khair, inshallah, the news now with Brother Yusuf Ali, and then the program with Brother Lamin Templeton. We will send out the podcast in the afternoon, inshallah. So my brother Bonface, just prepare the podcast and then send it to me. Right, Jazakallah khair to all of you. Brother Yusuf Ali with the 12 o'clock news. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khairan wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
As long as this ummah will make the masjid abad, as long as this ummah will give its life for the masjid, As long as this ummah will attach itself to the masjid, Allah's help will be with us.
The voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.